want you to open to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to share with you how wonderful it was. Saturday morning we had nine folks here at Powhatan, 9 o'clock Saturday morning for prayer and a time of Bible study, and it's a wonderful time. I think the Lord just blessed me in a wonderful way, and I trust that the fellowship that we had, the fellowship of the others as well, was a great blessing. We encourage you on Saturday morning. We come together for prayer time at 9 o'clock, and also we have a time of just whatever the Lord leads. You may have a Bible question that you want to ask about, and we'll research that and share in that, or we share from the daily bread before we leave, and we close in the Lord's Prayer. So it's we don't keep you long. We're usually from 9 until 10 o'clock, but we had 9 folks Saturday morning. We really appreciate them coming. While you're turning there, maybe I can get my Bible and I'll turn there too. I want to look this morning at verses 1 through 11. Peter, writing to the church, he says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre or money, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settle you." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for a home in glory. Father, we thank you for the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who's made it possible for us to come home to a world that is completely different from this one. Father, I thank you for each one that's come this way this morning. We pray that the Holy Spirit would richly bless each one of us from the very pulpit, Father, to the pews. Lord, allow the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts and in our lives. Help us to be receptive to the Word of God, Father, and help us to open our hearts, and not just to hide in our hearts what's there, Father, as though the Scripture says to hide to take the Scriptures and hide them in our heart. That means to take the Word of God and bring it to the heart and take it to heart. But Father, as we leave this place, help us to go out into a world that's lost and dying, and be the lights that you've called us to be. You are the light of the world, but also, Father, you've ignited each and every one of us as Christians to also be a light as well. And so, Father, we would ask you today, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and open our minds and our hearts to the moving of the Holy Spirit. For we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. And all God's people said, amen. The New Scofield Study Bible captions this portion of Scripture as guidance for Christian service in the light of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, how should we as Christians act in our service to Christ and toward one another as we wait upon the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ? And I believe He's coming. I believe He's coming soon, soon and very soon. Peter first speaks to the elders of the church, which I believe refers to certainly the leadership of the church, to include the pastor and the deacons. And after this, he then speaks to the congregation, God's people, overall. So the question, what is our Christian service one to another as we wait upon the coming of the Lord Jesus? What kind of a heart condition should we have toward one another as Christ waits in the wings of heaven to come again? In verse 1, Peter says, to the elders which are among you, I exhort. Peter says, I want to first encourage the elders of the church, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. I want you to note the very first thing that Peter points out here about his life and his personal experience with the Son of God. He says, I witnessed God's sufferings. I witnessed Christ's sufferings. I witnessed His humility, and He witnessed His death. The New Testament writers all bear witness to the fact that Christ never exalted Himself above others. The Creator of this universe, when He walked upon the face of this earth, never exalted Himself above others. He never forced Himself upon others. He never placed Himself before others, save only to die in their stead. The Bible tells us that Jesus stooped down and washed His disciples' feet. It's recorded in John chapter 13. I want to read you verses 13 through 17. Jesus says, you call Me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. Did Christ ever say He was the Lord and Master of you and me? Yes, He did. Yes, He did. He says, you call Me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Jesus goes on to say, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, Christ says, happy are you if you do them. A Christian will find more peace serving others than trying to squeeze others into the mold that is going to serve them. A Christian will find more peace in listening rather than always being the one pushing their opinion or their complaint. And so the Bible tells us that our Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, stooped down. This is called humility. Every elder of the church needs to practice humility. Every elder of the church needs to practice humility. And when humility reigns within the hearts of the elders of the church, humility will also strive within the hearts of the congregation. I believe that's true. And so Peter encourages the leadership of the church. He says in verse 2, what is our responsibility as leaders of the church? Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint. Don't step into a position of leadership in the church because nobody else will do it, or because they keep flattering you about your knowledge of God. A lot of people have knowledge, but they don't have the constraint of God. There's a big difference in man's calling and God's calling. And so our service should not be by man's constraint, but by God's calling. So we, here at Powhatan, the church, the congregation elects the deacons to serve on the deacon board. And we don't have deacons we don't have men of the church running, vying among the congregation, trying to get somebody's vote. Because I can promise you this, if there's one man in any in this congregation that's vying to get somebody's vote for a deacon, if a man comes up to you and says, please, I want you to vote for me as a deacon, I can assure you of one thing. I really don't think God's calling that person to leadership in the church. Because a man will leave it to the congregation, will leave it to the God's moving upon the congregation to elect and to place in the position the man that God wants. When somebody comes to me and says, I want to serve on the deacon board. Well, it's not happened here in the last, it happened on one occasion. And I thought to myself, the very first thing I thought to myself was, here's a man that doesn't belong on the board of deacons. Every deacon on the board here at Powhatan Free Will Baptist Church has been voted on by the church and placed in that position because God laid it on the people's hearts to place them there. And I'm thankful for that. And our responsibility as leaders in the church is to feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint, but as God calls, not as man calls. Peter says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint, but willingly, as we are drawn by the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, not for filthy lucre. This speaks of the hireling, where you've heard people say before, you know, we've hired a new pastor, we've hired a new preacher. Peter says, but of a ready mind. What kind of a ready mind is one who moves to take leadership over the church? Well, turn with me, if you will, just a moment. Keep your hand there in 1 Peter chapter 5, but if you'll turn over to Philippians chapter 2, I want to read to you what the mind of Christ is. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. So we ask ourselves, what kind of a mind did Christ have? And we see here he had the mind of a servant, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, what does it say? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So Christ, even though King of kings and Lord of lords, he had the heart of a servant. Now if you'll turn back to Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3 says, neither as being lords over God's heritage. You know, I'm not called to be the Lord of Powhatan Free Will Baptist Church, because Powhatan Free Will Baptist Church doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to the deacons. It doesn't belong to a congregation member. Powhatan Free Will Baptist Church belongs to who? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. That's right. You and I, as Christians, make up the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if the Spirit of God is not moving in the body, it's just a broken body is what it is. Each and every one of us is called to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lord of the church. The church belongs to Christ. It is the servant, it's the servant's job to emulate his master. In John 13, verse 16, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. And so I'm called to be an example and to be a servant. Neither as being lords, Peter says, over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So there is a reward for the leadership of the church. If that leadership is in the way that God wants that leadership to be. A humble leadership, the service leadership. Verse 5, Peter goes on to the congregation, if you will. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with what? Humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. The proud of this world want things their way. If you don't get things, or if they don't get things their way, their countenance changes drastically. They make sure everybody knows that they're not happy. They're not happy because God is resisting them. I truly believe that. Their heart is cold and bitter. And do you want a peace? If anybody wants a peace of heart and peace of heart and contentment in this world as we wait upon God's coming, then God says very clearly through Peter's pen, look at verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. No matter what burdens you face, what trials or tribulations come your way, Christ wants to see you through to victory. But we must be willing to humble ourselves before him and cast all of our cares upon him, and he promises that he will lift us up. And he lifts us up, and one of these days he's going to lift us out. So God says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. The humble serve Christ and others, while the proud serve only themselves. Verse 8 says, be sober. Now listen to this. Be sober, Peter says, and he's talking about the end times. He's talking about the days that we live in today. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. What does Peter say about the devil? Verse 9, he says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You know, whatever problems are coming upon you, whatever burdens you're carrying today, I can promise you this, they're not burdens that are unique to you. You probably can reach out and touch somebody right next to you that has gone through the same problems or is going through the same problems, facing the same burdens as you're facing. So Peter encourages us that in these last days before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil is going to be on fire. He's going to be working diligently, not among the lost of the world, but among who? The church. Among Christians. And that's the reason that Peter encourages us. And look, Peter encourages us too to support one another and to be humble and to be encouraging to one another as we wait upon the coming of the Lord Jesus. Because in these last days, the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The same afflictions, the burdens, the trials, the tribulations, the problems that came our way in the past also come to all. We need to be vigilant, Peter says, to be watchful, to keep our hearts tuned to the Spirit of God within, that we might discern the right path from the wrong. In the first chapter of Job, God asks Satan a question. In the first chapter of Job, God asks Satan a question. Verse 7 it is. Christ asked Satan this question, whence comest thou? Where have you been, Satan? Whence comest thou? You think God had doubts about where Satan had been? No, he knew. He knows. But he says, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Peter makes it clear that Satan is walking about seeking whom he may devour. But we are to resist him. Peter says, resist steadfast in the faith. And James tells us in James chapter 4, James the half-brother of Jesus writes this. He says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Listen, what kind of a heart do we have in order to be submissive? A humble heart, that's right, a humble heart. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Satan came after Jesus in the wilderness and tempted him in three ways. He tempted him from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And Jesus repelled each attack by using the sword of the Spirit. Anybody know what the sword of the Spirit is? The what? The Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures. Every time, with every temptation that Satan brought to Jesus. Jesus responded with the Word of God. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verses 10 through 11, listen to this. After the last temptation, verse 10, "Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And verse 11 says, Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." How long do you have to wrestle with the devil? Well, I tell you, it's up to you. It's really up to you. How long do you want to wrestle with the devil? I tell you, the more you know about the Word of God, and the more you quote Scripture, and the more that you lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and invoke the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll tell you, Satan's not going to stay around long. His time's running out. Satan can't be in two places at the same time. Oh, his followers, his demons can. But Satan's not going to spend a lot of time with you if you rebuke him. Rebuke him. And cling to the Word of God. Temptations, trials, and tribulations come our way. God permits these things to happen. Not to destroy us, but to strengthen our faith in Him. Peter goes on to say in verse 10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settle you." But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What kind of a burden are you carrying today? What kind of problems or troubles are you going through today? I can promise you this, that it may be the devil, it may not be the devil. You know, there are some problems we go through that we created ourselves. We can't blame everything on the devil. Can't blame everything on the devil. But I can promise you this, if for some reason it seems like there's a barrier set up in your pathway in serving the Lord Jesus Christ, what you need to do is rebuke the devil, seek God's face, seek His Word, and contemplate upon His Word, and then move on to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The Scripture, Peter says, encourages us to cast all of our cares upon Him because He cares for you. God knows every burden you carry. He knows every problem you're going through. And He's always ready to hear your prayer and for you to seek His guidance. As we wait upon Christ's soon coming, elders are to love Christ, feed the flock, take care of the flock as servants, first unto Christ and then unto men. The congregation is likewise to serve Christ first, then their fellow man. By the way, out on our information sign, Rita has put up out there, joy. Joy. What is joy? Jesus first, others second, and yourself third. That's humility. That's humility. We are to be an encouragement one to another. Bind our hearts together in worship of the Lord and in service to one another. The writer of Hebrews compels the church in these last days, listen to this, in these last days, and anybody in this congregation that doubts we're living in the last days hasn't read the Holy Scriptures. We are living in the last days. Christ could come for His church this morning and owe an apology to nobody. The writer of Hebrews says this, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." Let us hold fast. This is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." And listen to verse 25. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So the writer of Hebrews says, listen, as you see the day approaching, Peter, well, first Peter says the devil's going to be really active. He's going to be really active. You can look, you can read a number of testimonies about that in the New Testament about how on fire the devil's going to be in the last days. But what are Christians to do? They're to encourage one another, strengthen one another, and not shun coming to church. Because coming to church, some of us come to church once a week, some of us come to church twice a week, some of us come to church three times a week. Powhatan makes it possible for you to come three times a week, and if you want to come more than that, we'll work that out too. But there are Christians who want as much Christian fellowship and encouragement and strength from one another as they can possibly get in these last days. But I'll tell you what you have to do. If you're going to come, if you're going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're going to come and seek God's face, the first thing you've got to do is to humble yourself. You've got to see a need for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't see a need for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Satan has blinded your eyes. Christ is coming again, and sooner than we think. And when He comes, He will be coming quickly. And if you're here this morning and have never made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, pride is the devil that stands in your way. But Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Satan is a defeated foe. I promise you that today. Satan is a defeated foe. The only power Satan has over you is what you give him. And the Bible says, resist him this morning. Reach out to Christ this morning, and He will bring you home to a peaceful heart and a restful place. That's the promise of God. What is your barrier? Is your barrier pride? Pride? I can tell you, that barrier is set up by a foe that is weak and defeated. And it's only a barrier to you because you let it be a barrier. What's holding you back from making a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ? Many of us here this morning have made our commitment. Maybe there's some here that have never made a commitment to the Lord Jesus. But I can tell you, your time is running out. Christ says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. God says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's no one else. You can make a God out of anything you want to, but there's only one God by nature. And the Bible says that one of these days, your knee, whether you're humbled or not, your knee will bow. And your mouth will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You can either kneel before Him today and receive salvation, or you can kneel before Him just before He says, depart from me, I never knew you. What is your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? As we wait upon His soon coming, what you need to do is, if you have any doubts about your relationship to Christ, you ought to come to this altar. You ought to let this pastor pray with you just for a few moments. And by that time you get up off this altar and you go back out that door, you'll know that you've made a commitment to the Lord Jesus. The Scripture says, if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank You for the guidance and the direction that You've given to us, Father, in Your Word. Father, we fail to realize that our calling is a calling of service, Father. And sometimes, Father, in that service we get ahead of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the one who opens up the door that allows us to step through that corridor into that particular calling that you've laid upon our heart. Every Christian, when they receive Christ as Lord and Savior, Lord, your Word teaches us every Christian has a gift. Every Christian has a talent. And so, Father, we would pray that Christians would find that talent, wait upon the moving of the Holy Spirit to move them through in service, in using that talent for whatever reason that you've called them to serve. Father, there may be one here this morning that knows you as their personal Savior, and yet may not be walking in a way that brings honor and glory to the Lord Jesus. If they are to give a testimony of Jesus out in the world, people may laugh at them because of the way that they walk. Their walk is not according to their talk. And so, Father, I pray that if there's a Christian here this morning that is on a pathway that leads away from service to you, that today you would convict their hearts, that they'd be drawn back to the path that brings that leads to bringing honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. There may be one here this morning, Father, that's never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit would knock upon that heart's door again. They wouldn't be here this morning if it wasn't for you having them here, Father, that they might have an opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus, and be able to open their heart and receive the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. Father, whatever the burden upon the heart this morning, I pray that the Holy Spirit would richly bless, lift that burden, Father, give that heart peace and contentment as we wait upon your coming. Father, we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.